policies. As I mentioned before, I don't see this action as a possible war crime. The entire event is a war crime. Every action within it is a war crime in miniature, but the entire picture, the whole thing that we're watching from here, is a war crime. Why are these people not being prosecuted? Why is that so? Why does the rest of the world not have the ability to stop this? I believe a lot of it has to do with the stranglehold that the United States has over many governments, financially, but primarily militarily, also economically. I think the U.S. and Israel both have managed to prevent most of the other countries that might be able to act independently from doing so by threatening, by blackmail, by threatening to cut off aid, by threatening to undermine their own policies. There are many reasons why this is happening. Nevertheless, the United States is a pariah state in the eyes of global public opinion. Israel is little more than an offshore military base for the U.S. I see the two as inseparable. I don't think the United States and Israel can be considered independent entities. They have some differences that we can talk about in small ways and different discussions, but essentially they are two sides of the same coin. Israel is an arm of U.S. power, and as long as the Europeans and other nations refuse to stand up to the to American power primarily, nothing will be done to help the Palestinians. Well, I also want to say one other thing.
Yes, go ahead.
When we look at crime, when we look at crimes against people, it is often true that the victim, that the crime is judged by other people by the status of the victim. What I mean to say is that more attention is paid to those crimes where the victims have higher status in world public opinion than in other cases. In other words, Palestinians are viewed, as are most Arabs, as being at the bottom of a human hierarchy. They're seen as not worthy of our time and attention. That is because that stems from a kind of from racism that is built into the educational system of the United States and Israel and much of Europe, which has a dark history of colonialism across the world.
All right. I mean, both of you are professors. Professor Le'arat Ali Khan, you're a professor at Washburn University, and Professor Lowenstein, University of Wisconsin. I want to know how much of this onslaught, how much of this Gaza conflict, in its true sense, is discussed at universities or at the academic level? Professor Le'arat Ali Khan, you first.
Well, I think right now we are on summer break, so this is not a good time to ask that question.
Well, of course, I don't mean the summer break. I mean, other than the summer break, in general, I mean, the whole Israeli-Gaza
conflict.
Yes, I think
generally your question is very important. And the answer is that universities do not discuss this matter openly because people are afraid, particularly professors are afraid, that if they criticize Israel, they would be punished for that. And I think there are examples where professors have been punished for criticizing U.S. Foreign policy in the Middle East, particularly when it comes to Palestine or even Iran. I think there is very little freedom of expression in the universities, even in the law schools. I mean, I think law schools are where the freedom of expression should be most visible. And I'm sorry to say, I have been teaching for over 30 years in the United States. And I have been to many universities, law schools across this country. I can report to you that it is very difficult to have fair and free discussion about Israel and the Middle East in the United States. I think people are very uncomfortable. Students are very uncomfortable. Your colleagues are very uncomfortable. I think your administration is very uncomfortable. So yes, I think it'd be very, very difficult from my perspective to discuss this matter openly. I don't know what Professor Lowenstein's experience is.
All right, Professor Lowenstein, what is your experience?
My experience at the universities here, I have to speak first of all about the university at which I teach. I teach the only regular course offered on modern Arab history, politics, and culture. What on earth are the administrators and the educators at my university thinking when so much of our nation's energy is invested in the Middle East by having no Middle Eastern studies program that devotes necessary attention, time, and resources to the modern Arab world? How is it possible for a university of our stature to offer one course on modern Arab history, politics, and culture? I have answers to that, and one, the primary one that I mentioned before, has to do with the fact that we live in a profoundly racist society in which Arabs, like African Americans, Hispanics, people of other colors and other cultures, are at the bottom of the human hierarchy that we have developed, that we have created in this country, in which those people are unpeople. They're not equal to people like us, white Americans, white Europeans, the elite culture, the people who supposedly lead the world in freedom and democracy. This kind of indoctrination that American students get from the time they are in elementary school, primary school, all the way through to the level of college, you know, when the indoctrination is that widespread and that deep, it takes a great amount of time and energy to undo it. I don't know how that is going to happen. It is going to take a huge amount of effort on the part of activists and alternative media, on professors who can get jobs teaching at universities where we are not silenced by the campus Hillel organizations or Christian Zionist organizations that want to continually portray Israel as a victim by savage terrorist Arabs. When is this image going to end? How are we going to end it? These are questions I ask myself all the time, and that bother me deeply because I don't think we are making much headway in changing our curricula in our schools. It's not happening. The worse our policies are, the worse our own racism becomes.
Indeed. A final comment by you, Professor Leogatil Khan. 30 seconds, please.
I think I totally agree with Professor Lowenstein that the United States culture, even though I think I'm not that pessimistic, it's getting slightly better. Over 30 years, I've noticed that there is some change in the American culture. It is opening up a little bit, but still I would agree that the culture is very much hierarchical, and the people who belong to ethnic groups, they are not credible, particularly in their viewpoints. So yes, I think we have to go a long way in order to create authentic freedom of expression and authentic thinking in this country.
All right, we'll leave it there for the time. Many thanks to Professor Leogatil Khan, professor from at Washington University from Kansas, and Professor Jennifer Lowenstein with the University of Wisconsin. Many thanks for your thoughts there. And of course, once again, the latest situation on the ground is that 717 people have been killed as a result of 17 days of the Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip. More than 4,500 others have been injured. Stay tuned to Press TV. I'll be back in 4 minutes' time with the international headlines. Don't go away.